Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Let's repeat again those first seven words of our Old Testament reading and meditate on them, especially here at the beginning. Then the Lord God formed the man. The word for Lord there, when it says the Lord God, is Yahweh, which means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. God is. He is not made or created. He doesn't change based on the circumstances or his environment or history. He is not dependent on anything or anyone. He is. This is why he can say, I am who I am, I will be who I will be. But man, on the other hand, is not that. Man is formed and created. Man is formed by God, the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is formed by the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Man is formed by Yahweh the Lord. Man is dependent. Man does not make himself. There is no self-made man. God makes man. Man was and is still formed by God. Man was formed by God from the dust of the ground, and then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And so from this, from God breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, we learn that man does not bring about his life on his own. That God is the one that gives us all breath. Our life comes from God. We do not have life in and of ourselves. And we hear from John 1 of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our life comes from God. God is the source of life. But God did not stop there with forming man from the dust of the ground. God did not stop with shaping man. God did not stop with breathing life into man. God also gave man what he needed to sustain life. And once again, we see that God is dependent, or that man is dependent on God for everything. If we go on past that first verse, or that verse that I read, that says that God formed man of dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, we hear that God did more for man. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. On the midst of the earth that God had made, that he had formed, out of nothing, the Lord made a garden, planted a garden. And he put the man there. And he caused to spring up in this garden every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. God provided food for the man. Not only had he formed him from the dust of the earth, not only had he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, God then also gave him what he needed to sustain that life. So that God does not just create us and then leave us to our own devices and say, now go and do things on your own. But God planted a garden for the man. He made a home for the man and gave him the food that he would need to sustain his life. So that man is not only dependent upon God for his existence, for his coming into being, for the life that he has, but also for his sustenance. God continues to provide. God made man. God made him, gave him a garden, in which to live. And not only in which to live, but also to work. God gave him this job of working and keeping the garden. So God gave man his job as well. Yes, man did have to work even before the fall. But his work was not toilsome, was not a burden. He did not eat by the sweat of his brow. God provided for him generously and abundantly. And when he worked the ground, it was not producing thorns and thistles. God gave him the trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food. It was a blessing for him to work in that garden. God made and formed man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then God also gave him a home, gave him food, and gave him good and blessed work to do. God gave everything to the man. God is the giver. God is the one who creates. And man receives the gifts of God. Man owes his life to God. Man is sustained by God. But the way in which God made man and shaped him and gave him life also came with certain limitations. Man was to live in accordance with how God made him. Man was not to think that he knew better than God, that he should remake himself into something else. But we hear, even in this Old Testament reading, that man was to live according to the word of God, because God gave him all of these trees from which he could eat that were good for food, but he had one, just one, from which he could not eat. And man was to trust that word of God, to trust that he was not to take from this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that he would eat of it, he would die. To rebel against God and against the limitations that God had set, to rebel against the way God had made man, meant death. The opposite of life. But to live in the limitations that God had set, to live as God had formed man and made man, to eat of all the trees that God had given him, that was life. And man should have trusted the God who breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, who formed him, who gave him the garden, who put him there, who gave him good and blessed work to do. But man listened to the voice of the serpent. Adam and Eve heard what the serpent said when the serpent denied the word of God and told them that they would not die, when he flatly contradicted the word of God and then insinuated that God was not giving them good things, saying that in the day that if they ate of it, that they would be like God, knowing all things. And that God knew this, the serpent said. And so they took of the fruit, believing that it would make them wise. Were they hoping and expecting that they could be like God as the serpent promised? For to do so is to step out of the limitations that God had set for them. To not live as created beings under the care of a creator, but instead to step outside of that and to say, we want something else. All that God has given us, all that this good God has given us for our life and health, all the blessings he has given us are not good enough. He should have given us something different, something more. And in fact, we do not want to live under him, dependent on him. We want to live and be like God. They stepped outside of, or tried to step outside of, the limitations that God had set for them, the good boundaries that he had ordered for them, that were good for them and for their descendants, and for their life, their eternal life. And instead, they chose to rebel against God. And because of that, We hear in Scripture that death spread to all men because all sinned. That original sin now is passed on to man, and now we all experience death. We all experience the curse of the fall. And we all want to step outside of what God has made us and given us, to be something else, to be our own gods, to live according to our own plans, to not be dependent on God, to be dependent upon ourselves or to look to other things as our gods, to idolize the things of this world, to not believe that God is our maker, our creator, and the one who gives us all we have. No, instead we would rather worship the creature than the creator. Whether that be the creature, meaning ourselves, or some other creature, some other person, something else that God has made. We worship what is made rather than the maker of all things. We may worship the work of our hands and what we can achieve and accomplish, the money that we can earn, the things that we can build, and set those as the highest priority. We cannot give that up. We must have that. And we would rather have God fit in around all of the other things that we do and we make, our jobs and our careers and our goals and our plans, rather than living as God's creatures, as the one who made us and breathed into us the breath of life. Not realizing that our ability to create and to make and to work is a gift of God Himself. That we would not be able to work and to earn money. We would not have families. We would not have anything that we have were it not for our Lord who made us. We cannot make ourselves. We could not even determine when we were born, where we were born, to whom we were born, what siblings we would have. We are dependent upon a God who has placed us in a particular place and time and given us life. He still creates, He still forms. And furthermore, we also worship the gift rather than the giver. We worship the things that God has given us. Our homes, our cars, our money, our own bodies. We worship them more than the one who gives them to us. This is sin and idolatry. But thanks be to God that we have a Savior who came and lived in perfect relationship with the Heavenly Father, who is willing to take on the limitations of becoming man, to take on a created human flesh, and to live in perfect relationship as a man, dependent on the Heavenly Father, although still fully God at the same time. He did this in our place for us. He lived as Adam should have lived in that garden, but yet surrounded by sin and temptation and the devil. Then where Adam gave in to the temptations of the devil, Jesus did not. Jesus perfectly lived the life that man should have lived in the garden, under God's care. And then what's more, he went to the cross and suffered as one, looking like he was one who had eaten of the fruit, who had disobeyed God, because he was taking on the punishment for all of us who deserve punishment for our sins. Every single human being descended from Adam and Eve. Jesus took on this punishment for us, even though he, unlike all the rest of us, had not sinned, so that he could be punished in our place for us. And then what's more, after he had died for our sins and risen from the dead. Then on that very same day that he rose from the dead, in the upper room, he appears to his disciples, and he now breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Notice how back in the Old Testament, in our Old Testament reading, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. God gave man life. And man should have lived forever, but man sinned and rebelled against God, and he, the man of dust, would return to dust. But now Jesus breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." He gives them, authorizes them, as he breathes, gives to them the power to forgive, the authority to forgive sins. And he also forgives them their sins. For he says, "Peace be with you." He has forgiven them their sins. He has given them life. And he then, by this authorization, given by breath, gives life again and again to his people. He gives life to poor sinners who are headed for death. Those who we heard in our epistle reading are slaves of sin, are given life. They are freed from sin, and now they become slaves of righteousness. They become slaves of God. And that slavery does not lead to death. But that living in God's limitations, under his care and protection, this new life given by the forgiveness of sins, this life has its end, sanctification and eternal life, as we heard in our epistle reading. In Christ there is life. In him and his death and resurrection, in the forgiveness of sins that he continues to give out, week after week, day after day around the world, as he gives the forgiveness of sins in his word of absolution and in the supper, Jesus gives us life. Come to where there is life. Come and feed upon the gifts that our Lord gives. Receive the good gifts that our Lord gives with joy. As Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. All the other things that we need for this life will be given to us. All the things that seem so important for our life here and now, the food that we need, the clothing that we need, all of those other things will be provided. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first to live in the limitations that he has set up. To live as his child, receiving his gifts, and looking forward to the day that we are with him forever. Living dependent on him, being provided for forever with his good gifts. And never having to struggle again against sin and death and the devil. But living under his care forever. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.